Welcome to a new series entitled Financial Peace on Earth. So glad that we have you here along for the ride. And also, as I have welcomed all of you to Crosspoint, let me take a moment to welcome again all those that are watching online. Come on, give it up for those that are here. What a joy it is to find out we're having people that are connecting with us literally from all over the world. And so it's just a thrill and honor to have you all with us, and you're part of us today as well. Just want to mention a couple things that is on my mind, and that one of those is that last week we handed out some acts of kindness cards, and it's a card that you attach with an act of kindness, where you connect an act of kindness to them, from them to God. And just want to say good job for utilizing these. Just something to show that people that God really cares about them, God loves them. And so I encourage you to continue to use those. I believe those can really make a difference. We talked about last week, little is much when God is in it, and he can take whatever gifts we surrender to him. And we give him our basket, right? Everybody remember that? Anybody remember last week we talked about the bag, the bin, the basket, and the barn? Real deep theological message there. So I encourage you to go back. If you missed that, check that out online. All our messages are archived at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can hear that message again, and also you can download the notes to go along with that. For this series, we have notes as well, so be sure and pull those out of your worship guide. You can follow along today. We're back to fill in the blank message notes. We've had some just blank pages last few weeks, and so today we're just back on our message notes, and encourage you to utilize these. Also, let me mention a couple things, too, that are coming up this month as we go into this season. December the 18th, which is actually the Sunday before Christmas, we are going to have a special community candlelight evening service. And that's going to be at 6 o'clock. So it's a special time that you can invite other people to come. We hope that you're doing that every week for our Sunday morning experience. But also, this special service is going to be a wonderful time. We enjoyed this last year. It was a great success. And we'll have some Christmas songs that are very traditional. And we'll have the lighting of candles throughout the congregation. And just a wonderful time just to share the true meaning of Christmas. That will be limited to a one-hour service from 6 to 7 p.m. on December the 18th. And how many knows what day Christmas falls on this year? Sunday. Yeah, you're on calendar with me. Sunday. So I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, God forbid we should go to church on Christmas Sunday. And so here's what we've done, understanding that people do need family time. And people have plans, and kids really want to open presents on Christmas morning. We have, the staff met, and we discussed it. We feel like probably the most advantageous thing to do would be to have a service at 5 p.m. Everybody write that down. Actually, we'll be announcing it in the next coming up weeks again. But 5 p.m., we're going to have a one-hour communion service. So the 18th that evening is at 6 p.m., a community candlelight service. But on Christmas, we're going to have the service at 5. 5 on Christmas Sunday, 5 to 6, a one-hour communion service. So you get that? One week's candlelight, the next week's communion service. So we'll have a special communion service on Christmas Day. That'll get you out by 6, okay? So 5 to 6 on that evening. So that you, again, some people have plans in the evening with family. So we tried to negotiate that where in a slot that we felt like would be less intrusive with your family, but also allow you a time to come and have a meaningful time of worshiping our Lord and Savior on Christmas Sunday. Isn't that great? So we're really excited about that. Yeah. So I would just encourage you to invite your friends to come and be a part of all that's happening here at Crosspoint. Well, let me jump right into this series, and it's a little bit different. I actually was contemplating doing this series last year, and I didn't feel comfortable with it last year. God directed me another direction, but I feel real strong about it this year because, you see, all year long, we all have problems. We all have challenges and things that we deal with. I don't think they just come around once a year. I believe it's all year. But it seems to be at the Christmas season, it's a more felt time where you really, those needs, those areas of needs just kind of, you're more impacted. More impacted by them. And so it's a very challenging time. And I believe that Christmas is a time where we need to address felt needs during the Christmas season. And we, when we ask the question, then where are people hurting? I think hands down, I think all of us could say for the most part that it's finances. It's finances. I think it's the case with our nation. I think it's the case in our cities, our communities, and also personally at home. Finances are a challenge. So I want to talk about this for the next few weeks, how that we can have financial peace on earth. You've heard the phrase financial peace, and you've heard the phrase peace on earth. Okay, we're putting those together. It's financial peace on earth. Here's what I'm not going to do during this series. I'm not going to try to fix the America's economy in 3 weeks, all right? So just relax. We're not going there, and we're not going to be able to solve all of your financial situations in 3 weeks, but we're going to talk about the peace side of this, and that is how that we can find peace in the midst of it all. And can we find peace in the midst? I believe that we can. And I want to give you some solutions, though, that can put peace in its, you know, in your life right now, that can change your life internally as it affects things externally. So this is not a series about how to get out of debt or to manipulate you of how to get something out of you for the church. I'm going to help you pass the misery of whatever you may be feeling due to debt, due to financial difficulties, and help you get the peace in the midst of that. So the question would then be, what is causing the problem? What is causing the misery? Now, again, this message will be more about addressing the internal, about how you can find peace. Now, we do want to encourage you to be sure and get some practical tools as well. That'll be happening after the first of the year. We're going to have 21 days of fasting and prayers. We always do at the beginning of the year. And then as soon as that happens, we'll be launching our spring semester of small groups. And we're going to be offering Financial Peace University. Some of you really need to take advantage of this. We're going to have many small groups, but that's one of them I just want to highlight since we're in this series, give you some practical tools. My son just graduated from UNC Charlotte and is now in the workforce. And as soon as he got out and freed from his school studies at UNC Charlotte, he said, I want to get into this class. And so he took it under Dwayne Dunham, facilitated that this past semester. And I want to tell you, you say, well, it's too late for me. No, it's not, because they cover from A to Z, from birth to when you leave this world in that class. So I just want to encourage you to be sure and take that. That's going to be where you're going to find some practical things. I want to encourage that. But for this series, I want to talk about how, even in the midst of it all, that we can find freedom. So here's the question. What is causing the misery that's robbing us of the peace? And here's where it really gets down to, and that is that we are a people of freedom. Freedom. Everybody say freedom. You know, we're a free people, you know, and we enjoy that. We know we have brave hearts. We live in the land of the free, but unfortunately not anymore. We're not in the land of the free. We're in the land of a lot of bondage, okay? And here's the truth, and that's there's a cycle that happens from generation to generation. You can look at it over thousands of years, so it's not just us. Freedom produces prosperity. And then when prosperity comes, often there's an abuse of prosperity. So that we don't know what to do with the fact that we're blessed by God, and by principles that we receive from God and that our country was even founded on. And so prosperity is often mishandled, and it puts us in this place of bondage. Our bondage stems from an abuse of not knowing how to handle prosperity. Prosperity stirs up greed, and so we're not content with what we've got. We want more, and we want more, and we want more, and we want it now, right? And so I just want to say in this Christmas season that we not get caught up in all of the materialism of all the financial aspects. And it really robs us of really what the true meaning of Christmas is all about this greatest gift ever given, Jesus being born in a manger, the greatest gift, and it's his party. Listen, it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus. What do we call that? We call that a birthday party. But isn't it interesting that at his birthday party, we're the one that gets the gifts? It's really kind of just sort of backwards, isn't it? You know, it's like, okay, it's his party, but thank you very much. And so it's all about us getting and receiving more gifts, and it becomes very, very materialistic. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, Black Friday is now Black Thursday. I was actually in Florida over the Thanksgiving holiday, and actually happened to find myself out at about 10 p.m. that Thanksgiving evening, and went by Kohl's and went by Target and went by some of these stores, and the parking lots were packed. And I looked at my wife and said, well, you want to turn? And we debated it. We went on. And then the next morning we were debating getting up, because we don't always have Black Friday off, and we thought about it. But we decided that that walking the beach for sunset was a lot more peaceful than the store and the mall. So, but we get caught up. See, it's not enough to have Black Friday. Now we got to have Black Thursday. Let's just rob Thanksgiving and go out and get some more and get some deals. And I don't even want to talk about Cyber Monday, okay? Y'all just need to go to the store and stay offline. But for those of you that don't know, I have to work another. I'm in a situation where I need to work another job, and it's called I'm the mailman. And y'all, I'm telling y'all getting carried away. But calm down, just calm down. We see, though, that our country and everything is really in a mess financially, and we say, well, we can't fix something as big as this situation. Well, it's foolishness to try to fix something this big, we say, but unless we fix it on an individual basis first, I think we're missing the point. I think each one of us need to look deep inside ourselves instead of pointing the finger to others and someone else, and really examine ourselves and see if, you know, this is an area that we need to look more closely at. I don't know if you heard about the guy that forgot to give his wife a Christmas present one year. And everybody's got gifts, but he forgot to get his wife a gift. And she looked at him and she said, however they do that, you know, and they said, buddy, you better have something in that driveway tomorrow that goes from 0 to 200 or else. So next day she wakes up, she pulls back the curtain, looks out there in the driveway, and there's a small package, a small present box wrapped up in the driveway. And she's kind of curious. And she goes out there and she looks and she picks it up, she opens it up, and it's a set of bathroom scales. That guy has not been heard or seen from yet. God rest his soul. So anyway, there's a little humor there for you, because there's not that much humor in this message, but there you go. I felt like you needed that. But the fact is, we're all messed up, and we've bought into this thing of we want more and this thing of greed. And even as a whole, even as a church, not just this church, but in general, we're less and less generous. America is less and less generous. And the fact of the matter is, we find out, you say, well, I don't have enough. We talked about that last week. Go back and check it out, what we talked about last week. But we say, well, I don't have enough. Did you know the fact is, in America, it is the poor that are the most generous? And you would think the more you make, the more you give. But the more you make, the less you give. And that's kind of ironic. I had a conversation with somebody the other day from a very large church. And they had an influx of a lot of people come from another church, about 400 people. And I was kind of sharing with him some of our challenges. And he said, well, you would think that would have helped us. He said, the giving, has it changed? Because I thought, well, it's people young in their faith. He said, no, this was older people. These were older adults with families that know. They've been in the church a long time, and they say they just don't give. We are living in a very less generous a time. And so we need to take a serious examination. And I think the fact is we've bought into a lie. The nation as a whole, we have bought into a lie of this borrowing more and more debt. From what I understand, we borrow an additional $4 billion a day. A day. I know, that number may have gone up. That may not be a current number, okay? Because it rises all the time. They say that that's America. That's the government. Yeah, the government. Well, the average American spends 136% of their income. 136%. So freedom produces prosperity, but prosperity produces bondage. And here we are miserable, and we just keep doing this, okay? So again, this announcement, and that is that this series is about what we can do now. Recovery takes time, but peace can come now. Practical help, FPU, 2017. Dwayne and Karen's going to be leading that one, all right? Sign up for that. But let's talk about how we can have peace on the inside. I want you to look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning. And look at this scripture that says this. But godliness with contentment. Now look at that, contentment. Contentment. What does that mean? We're happy right where things are. Right? And are we happy with things right where they are? Or are we in this mindset, we've got to do more? It says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You remember what the Bible says? It's not in the abundance of things that life consists. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. You can't hook a U-Haul to your hearse or to your coffin, you know? Right? But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich, look at this, fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now look at this, it's the love. This is talking about internal, not external. The love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So here we are in Christmas of 2016, and we're pierced, we're in bondage. And it's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy season with all that. I mean, I'm telling you, you should see how many parcels are going through the mail. Don't mean to bring that up again, but the other night I got home. It was after 9 o'clock before I got settled down and got home and got settled down and sat down on the couch to eat a late supper sitting on the couch. I fell asleep. 5 a.m. I woke up, still in my uniform, had my stuff, pens all still in my pocket. Dear God, what is that? Well, I guess it's time to go to work again. But anyhow, I did take a shower and change clothes. But it's crazy. It's crazy. And I just think, I just want to give you some peace in the midst of this as your pastor. I mean, what is Christmas really all about? More is not better necessarily. So we might need to just settle down, you know, put up the tree. Take time with your family. Put on some Christmas songs. You know, get a real tree that you can, it smells real good. Or if you don't get a real tree, spray something. I don't know, you know, just spray something around. Get out those Christmas ornaments that just smell special. I'm not going to say they smell good, but they smell special. You know, they got history embedded into their smell. I want to share with you something. I brought a little something here this morning. I don't know if this means much to you, but it means a lot to me. I had an aunt that, when I used to live in Florida, that lived near us growing up, and actually was a great aunt. And so when she passed away, our family inherited some ornaments. I guess you call these ornaments. They're a little unique. I don't know if you can see this. There's Santa Claus. These are like older, I'm sure, than I am, okay? And so they're probably not of much value to anyone else, but to me, they're just precious, you know? And so I was so excited to get, I got all the Santas, okay? So here's one, Here's another one. And look at this little guy. Isn't it great? I know y'all thinking the pastor's promoting Santa. That's not, don't miss the point. All right, so, and look at this one. Oh, there you go. Well, his beard's a little, but he kind of smells like Aunt Dina, you know? Just, you know? Can't see his face. There we go. Just precious to me. Now, I don't know, you may have similar things at your house, but when you sort of look at this stuff, it sort of takes you back to a simpler time. Folks, I just think we've complicated life way too much. I think we've got to just be still, you know, bake some cookies, put more icing on it than you should. I mean, because I think what this does, it takes you back to a simpler time. And I think we've lost something. We had less then, but we had more. We got more now, but we got less. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, our tree, you know, there's two kind of trees. You know, there's trees where you say, that's the trees we saw at the Southern Christmas show the other day. And then there's the trees you just go, ooh. We got one of those. Ooh. You know, but it means a lot to us because we got, you know, Kim and I's got our first Christmas ornament on there. You know, our first Christmas together. It might be Elmer glued together, but it's on there, you know. Baby's first Christmas, you know, all those things. But, and that may be a little bit silly to do that during the middle of a message, but I just want you to know, just think about the fact, we've complicated life so much that we have lost the meaning of what this whole thing is all about, right? And I think we need to get back to the simplicity of it all. You see, there was a guy in the Bible who had a lot of stuff. In fact, he was the richest man alive. His name was King Solomon. And King Solomon had acquired all this stuff, more stuff, more and more stuff. And yet, it did not work for him. And there were some things that he discovered I want to share with you. Look at your message notes. Go to the message notes and write these down. And we'll just go through these very quickly. But some things that we realize that he discovered. Number one is that he said, the more I have, the more I want. You think, well, if I get more, I'll be satisfied. No, you won't. King Solomon said, the more I have, the more I want. And look what he says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. Those who love money will never have enough. So it's not enough we spend 136%. Let's go ahead and spend 137%. What's one more percent matter, right? National debts, what are we at now? I've lost track. 19 trillion or are we up higher than that now? 19 trillion? And let's just keep raising the ceiling more and more. You know, let's do a little more. I mean, we're already there, right? So the more money we have, it's never going to be enough. And then the next thing we see that he discovered is the more I have, the less I'm satisfied. It didn't do it for me. The less I'm satisfied. He goes on to say, how meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. It doesn't, folks. It doesn't. And I think all you got to do is look at some very wealthy people in the world. And you see that the two does not necessarily go together, financial wealth and peace. And so, I'm not satisfied. It didn't work, he says. And then another thing he says is, the more I have, the more others want it. Right? Ecclesiastes 5 and 11. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Let's take from those who have the most. That's the mentality. Well, I'm not being able to manage what I've got, but if somebody would just give me what they have, then I could manage it. No, not necessarily true. Because if you can't manage it now, you can't manage it when you're little, you can't manage a lot when you've got a lot, right? I mean, telemarketing calls are off the chain. I thought once I got a cell phone, they wouldn't call me because they would always call my house phone. Guess what? They found my number, right? and the mail marketing, I mean, just marketing through things through mail, they know who you are and where you are and what your income is, and they know how to strategically come after you. They're targeting you, okay? So the more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Then another thing was discovered, the more I have, the more I realize that it doesn't meet my needs. We've got needs. He says, so what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? We've all got needs, but it's not just material needs. Some are marital needs. Some of us are sick or depressed. We got wayward kids, and money is not the solution for meeting our needs. And then another discovery, the more I have, the more I have to worry about. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. So the answer is not more money. No, go ask someone who has more than you. They're less happy oftentimes. There's more to paint, more to repair, more to store, more to insure. It just gets more complicated. Again, this is not to find the practical. This is to find how to find peace. But peace happens, can happen today. It's not circumstantial. It's internal, and it's available now. So how do we find it? Look with me. It's Psalm 62. Find rest, O my soul. We just need to pause right there. Some of us just need to rest. I know the mailman does. Come on. Just rest. Find rest. Be still. Carve out time. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him, not from these things. My help comes from Him. Look at this. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And then there's this word Selah. It's a musical term that means pause and think about what you just sung. Okay? Pause and think about what was just said there. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, your manipulation of how to get more, or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And there's the key. And it's what you're setting your heart on. What is your heart set to? So let's look at how we need to set our heart. Number one, write this down. Set your heart on giving, not getting. We all know this. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving, not buying more gifts. I want to encourage you. Perhaps you shouldn't just be running out trying to buy more, right? Perhaps you could take some time to use those gifts to visit someone in need, to care for a family that's less fortunate than you, to go visit a nursing home, right? To serve somebody. Come on, show up here for the candlelight service and serve, right? Serve with a smile. I don't have it. Serve with a smile for your community, right? Show up early. We'll have some refreshments before it begins. Show up so you can engage somebody, right? Come on, become a greeter. We can show you how. Start Growth Track today, Church 101. We'll train you, okay? Right? Use your talents and serve, but focus on giving, not getting. Acts 20 and 30 says this, you will not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering that our master said, you're far happier giving than getting. 2 Corinthians 9 and 11 says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be, what's the purpose of it? Generous on every occasion. We're actually going to be receiving and it's nothing of any kind of manipulation there, but it's an opportunity for you to give on Sunday the 18th. We're going to have a legacy offering that we can make a difference with, okay? But give. Focus on giving, not getting. Look at number two. Set your heart on true riches. True riches. The fact is, the gifts under the tree, or they're either going to break or they're going to burn. If you're like my kids, they break before they get them out of the package, okay? And that's just the fact. True riches, this is what I really want you to get this morning. True riches are people. And I just waited to this through this whole message to get to this point. God cares about you. I got to tell you something. Last night, I was, okay, y'all, I'll turn in my man card, but I was watching a Hallmark movie. It's my wife's fault. Can't help it. I'm married, all right? And in the Hallmark movie, this girl wishes that she was never married. So the angel, Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley, comes along, okay, and grants her this wish. And her life is totally changed. She's now successful business in the business world, but single, and found out her life was empty. And you know the story. And so she ends up coming back to herself, and she's got her family back, her kids back. And also it affected her sister who was married with kids, and that never happened. She didn't have kids. Wasn't married. I'm just, you know, the whole. So you know what I had to do just to make up for the Hallmark movie? I had to follow that. What was next was It's a Wonderful Life. Has anybody seen, come on, how many, I just want to make sure, how many have ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about there. And we got into, when we turned it on, it was already in that place where he was at his darkest point. What was his character's name? Come on, y'all said y'all watched the movie, all right? Jimmy Stewart, what was it? The banker. All right. Anyway, so he was like at his darkest point where everything was falling apart. It was the night where the money was missing. Somebody's Googling that right now. I can see y'all. He was at his lowest point in his life, right? He was yelling at his kids, and I told Kim, I said, you got to turn this on. She said, oh, at that point, I don't think I can watch that. I don't think I can take that. You know, it's that black and white, dark, depressing scene. He looks, you know, he just looks like he's going to die that night. In fact, he decides he will. Goes to the bridge to jump off, right? What I'm saying is you may be at that point where maybe you're not ready to jump off a bridge, but it's pretty bad, okay? And you're in that moment in your movie, of your life, where it's just not working. And you're at a point of despair and you're miserable. And nobody knows how miserable you are and how much stress is on you. And what are you going to do? Well, the angel showed up. Clarence. Remember his name? Clarence shows up, right? George Bailey. Thank you. Thank you. We have a wonderful church. Y'all are awesome. Y'all know who George Bailey is. Anyway, so the angel shows up, and you find out he's got a lot to live for when he finds out what life would be like if he had never been born, because he wishes he'd never been born. And so, you know, you've seen the movie, so I won't go through it all, but you finally get to that point where Clarence brings him back, right, to reality that, okay, and he comes back and realizes his lip's still bleeding, he's still got the Zuzu petals in his coat, you remember? And he's like, oh, I'm bleeding, isn't it wonderful? And then he says, I'm going to jail. Isn't it wonderful? And now, instead of like that miserable scene of, oh, now you're in this scene of I'm crying for joy for this guy. And you see the love of the people who came and rallied behind him, and he found out the richest man in the world was the one who would have friends, right? Right? But what changed? He was still, and he was happy before he even knew that people were coming to his rescue. He was just happy to be alive. He was happy to be alive. He realized that life mattered. And what changed? His perspective. His perspective. And I'm just saying, I can't fix all your financial problems like that, but I do know that when our perspective is right, and what matters, folks, is people. What he found out was the people he'd invested in. That's what made the difference in his life. He was a giver all his life, and it came back to him. We've got to focus on really what matters. I ran into somebody this week and asked the question. It was on my route, okay? And I asked the question, are you ready for Christmas? And this lady's response was, yeah, we're ready. So we just don't get into all the commercialism and the buying of gifts and all. In fact, several years ago, our family decided that we would get one gift and we would exchange those gifts and everybody gets one gift. Now, right immediately, I'm thinking, this lady does not have kids. You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know. In fact, the kids would hate this message right now. I know. But she referred to her sister, so I don't know what the family dynamic there is, but she said her sister made the statement, I don't know about this, when we first did it. And she said, now, and you could see this freedom in this lady's expression. She said, now, we wouldn't ever go back to what it was before. She said, we find a family in need, and we minister to that family, and we care for somebody. We take our children, we focus on helping other people and doing something of significance that matters in the life of somebody else. And she's found the joy. I just want to tell you, I think it's a tragedy. We put the pressure on ourselves that we got to buy a bunch of stuff that we can't afford, and then in January we're paying for it and we're in depression. Come on. Did you know there's more divorce filed for after the holiday season of Christmas than any other time of the year? Did you know that? Okay. So I just think we need to get back to simplicity. So we need to set our hearts on giving, not on getting. I had a list here, and I'm going to skip it for sake of time, but Daddy's Christmas list. Somebody needs to Google that online sometime and read it. About dad just focusing on what really matters during the holidays and what our focus needs to be on. Look at this scripture in Luke chapter 16. Look at this. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand. I'll explain that in just a moment. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here's the fact, and that is that some people think that this means that we're to use our money to leverage over people, but that is not true. What it's talking about is that money has a spirit on it. It's not neutral. It has God's spirit on it, and that's when we follow God's principles, or it has the devil's spirit on it, and that's what we call mammon. And so he says, take that what is unrighteous and make it righteous by following God's plan. Use it to impact people and to make friends so that when they fail, is what it says there, and what it's referring to is when they die, in heaven they're going to come up to you and thank you and say, thank you for giving me that act of kindness card in that line at Chick-fil-A when I went through. I was about to end it all, and it gave me hope, and I came to Christ because of it. Thank you for that cup of coffee and that smile that you served me when you came into church that day, and I didn't know where I belong, but now I understand I belong in the family of God. Thank you for making a difference in my life by investing in those things that matter. That's what this is really talking about. We need to understand what true riches are. It's leveraging everything we have got for the only thing that matters, and that's people. That's people. And so, how can I give you more if I can't handle what you have given me, Lord? Right? True riches. True riches. God is looking for someone who gets it. Right? God's looking for someone who gets it in the office and in the home. And what this thing is all about. It's about people. Right? It's about people. God's looking for people whose heart is set on Him and set on doing what He's called us to do. We set our heart on heaven, those things are eternal. I want to tell you, God looks with His eyes and focuses on us and knows He has somebody that He can work His plan through. This is important. Where are your priorities? It's interesting, I don't know if I share this or not. My mother, when she was looking to possibly marry my father, she was interested in what his checkbook looked like. Not to see if he was rich, but to see where his priorities were. And she wanted to know if he tithed. She wanted to know if he put God first, is what I'm saying. And when she discovered that, she said, that's the man for me, right? Where's our focus? I heard of one pastor who was in a restaurant, and he had somebody to buy him his meal for him anonymously. And he thought, wow. So another occasion, he was in the restaurant, and he decided, I'm going to buy somebody else's meal. And so he did. And his wife looked at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm buying their meal. And she looked at him and she said, I like that. I mean, she liked it. He said, you like that? And he said, well, I'll buy that family's meal over there too, you know. And there's something very attractive about a generous person, someone who is a giver, who gives and puts others first, right? I'm not saying be foolish, but I'm saying where's our heart set? Number three, let me give you this one in closing. Set your heart on heaven. Our parents got this. Our grandparents got this. They used to sing, when we all get to heaven. Come on, what a day of rejoicing that will be, right? They weren't looking for a better now. They were looking for a better place. You see, we want a better now. Yet Jesus is saying, while you're looking for a better now, I'm preparing for you a better place, right? This is not our home. If it works out here, fine. But this isn't our final home. We're just passing through. Do y'all understand that? The Bible says we're not supposed to be earthly minded. We're supposed to be focused on those things that are eternal. So it'd be great if things work out, but if they don't, it's okay. We're just passing through. Where we're headed, y'all, there are streets paved with gold. There is no more crying. There's no more dying. There's no more bills to be paid. There's no more insurance to be paid. There's no more taxes to be paid. There's no more traffic jams. Come on. The hot now light is always on at Krispy Kreme Donuts, y'all. I'm just saying. Where we're going is going to be awesome, right? And that's fine and I know in the meantime we need peace. And the way we discover that is that we have something far greater waiting for us, and we're going to do everything we can do to manage according to God's principles, the way that God wants us to manage this life and do what he's called us to do while we're here. But if things don't work out to meet our fancy, and some of us, I think our goal is, man, my whole life's a failure because nothing seems to be. Listen, it's temporary. It's all temporary. We're just passing through. Let me give you this final scripture. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And I want you just to be still for just a moment as we just pull all this to a close. And let me just tell you, I was at my house preparing to come here today, and the Lord just really did a number on me, just really touched my heart. And I just began to weep, and the Holy Spirit just began to minister to me and remind me that God's focus is you. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Right? You can't impress God with your talents or your money or anything else. He already loves you. He already loves you. He loved you when you were a mess. He loved you when you were on that real bad day like George Bailey. Okay, he loves you when you were in the gutter and unlovable. He loves you on your worst days and your best of days the same. He loves you, and his whole focus is on having a right relationship with you. He's supposed to have a relationship with you. I want you to take a moment, just bow your heads with me today, and I just want us to just allow God to speak to each one of us. And it may be that you don't have the right relationship with God that you know you need to have. I want to give you an opportunity. And it may be coming back, or it may be the first time coming to Christ. But either way, it's setting your heart on Him and giving Him your heart and your life, and allowed Him to come in and bring peace. The announcement of His birth, that Jesus was coming to this world, one of the descriptions was that He is called the Prince of Peace. And I want to tell you today, peace is available in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all. So what I like to do is lead you in a prayer of giving it all to Him. And if that's you today, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I simply want to pray with you right where you are while no one's looking around. It's between you and God. We've got other ways to do things publicly. That's what we call water baptism. But right now, this is between you and the Lord. But if that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that prayer? I want you just a slip of a hand, and you can put it right back down. Yes, sir. Proud of you. Yes, ma'am. Proud of you. Good job. Good job. Yes. And if you're watching online, just stop chatting for a moment and just join with us. If you need to pray this prayer with us, I invite you to join us today. And I'd like for support, everybody that's here, just pray this out loud for those that need to pray this prayer. Let's pray this. I'm just going to help you with the words, but just mean it from your heart. Just say this: Jesus, thank You for coming into this world, for being born as a baby and dying on the cross to demonstrate Your love for me. You have given me Your life. Now I give You mine. I open my heart. I ask You to come in. Heal me. Forgive me. Give me Your peace and joy for living. I welcome You into my life. I surrender my all. Come on, say this. I give You my life. Thank You, Jesus, for paying everything for me. All of my debt, so I wouldn't have to. I accept You now as my Lord and Savior. I declare Jesus Christ, You are my Lord and my Savior, and I will follow You with all of my heart as You help me. Thank You, Lord, for every person who needed to pray this prayer and has prayed it today. We celebrate with them the best decision they've ever made. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your peace that passes all understanding to come and flood their hearts and minds as they continue to follow You and live out their life for You. And God, I pray for this church, that we as a church, oh God, would walk throughout wherever You take us, oh God, to be the representation of Your peace. God, may we have peace in our marriage, peace in our homes, God. God, peace on our jobs, Lord. Peace in the marketplace, God. Lord, let us be instruments of peace. And God, we pray, may we discover financial peace on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise for awesome decisions made today. Amen. Amen.